Welcome to Disney A, the Canadian-themed Disney travel podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Krista.
And I'm Brandon.
This week, we're heading to the parks.
Woo!
Well, oh. not really.
Oh.
No.
All right, because we're in Canada.
Because we're in Canada.
And no parks are open here.
No. But theme parks are beginning to open other places.
Yeah.
So, or they're opening soon, or they have been open. And so we're going to chat about a bunch of different parks opening, and then, of course,
California.
In California. And then, of course, focusing on Disneyland. We'll live vicariously through everyone else.
Disneyland, Universal.
Yep. A little bit about Knott's. Even like, we'll mention Legoland, SeaWorld, but mostly...
Six Flags.
Yep, absolutely.
That'd be where I want to go. But
nah, I'll Disneyland.
Well, and Disneyland.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. Before we get to any of that, though, we always talk about a few things top of show. So, first of all, Brandon, what is your nerd thing for this week?
Well... couple of things, actually.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about how we got a VR headset, a Quest 2, a while ago, and we had...
It's like a Christmas present to ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just bought myself one of those, and we played Beat Saber a bit before, and I hadn't played it for a while, and I picked it up again. I was trying to put some custom songs on it, but that was a little bit of a tricky situation. It's not an official thing that you can do.
All right.
But, I played it for like 2.5 hours, and
you sore?
My shoulders were a little sore. You get those lightsabers going, it's pretty crazy. And then the other thing is we finally watched Shazam last night. And
I was wondering if you were going to talk about that.
I think it was one of the better DC movies that I've seen.
Yeah.
Maybe because it was the most Marvel-esque
one. Maybe.
I don't know. But yeah, it was funny. It was cute. And
yeah, it was.
I enjoyed it.
It was fun. The first time I watched Wonder Woman, I really liked it. When I rewatched it, I was quite disappointed. So this has now taken the place of Wonder Woman as far as...
I think it's way better than Wonder Woman. And,
right.
And I wanted Wonder Woman to be good, but there was way too much... cheesy slow-mo crap in Wonder Woman that
it was just fun. It was silly. It didn't take itself seriously, and I think that was its strength.
Yeah. I have nothing against Wonder Woman as a character. I think she's probably one of the best DC superheroes, but I think the plot could be better, I guess.
I didn't have a problem with the plot so much as the execution.
Mm.
And I thought she did a great job.
And the villain was bland. Yeah.
Anyway, but so this was super fun.
What about you?
My nerd thing is I actually have a couple. Of course. So I've had a student teacher in my classroom for the last 7 weeks or so. And the last day she had the classes doing blackout poetry. And so since it was the last day, I didn't have to make notes on her or anything like that. So I sat and made some too. And I made 3. I went a little crazy. So that was super, super fun. And so I got to play around with that a little bit. And then after she left, I was like, I'm going to finish these. And kept going. So I never think of myself as an artistic person, just a creative person. And so it was fun to be like a little artsy a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Poetry.
Yeah. And then, but no, this is easy because the word's already there.
Yeah, no, I get the point. I don't know.
Anyway, it was really fun. It was cool.
That's the kind of assignment in school I would have rolled my eyes at and sulked in the corner.
You know what? A bunch of them did, and then they started, and it was, I mean, I'm sure not all of them loved it, but it was, everyone was like, oh, this is fun, and this is fine, and stuff like that. And one of my students actually drew Thanos' the Infinity Gauntlet as part of his thing. So I appreciated that.
I want Infinity Gauntlet poetry right out of existence.
Right. No way. I love it. And then my other thing is actually also teachery nerdy is it was Shakespeare's birthday this week. And
boy, he's old by now.
Right. A few years ago at my school, a former coworker and I, she kind of organized it that students, if they memorized a line from Shakespeare or a couple lines from Shakespeare, they get a piece of cake. Well, of course, we can't be distributing cake in COVID times. So we did like a little celebration, stuff like that, celebrating Shakespeare's birthday. And I had students memorizing Shakespeare like crazy. It was a whole lot of fun. You're rolling your eyes. You cannot see, but Brandon is rolling
your
his eyes.
Your definition of fun is...
It was fun. It
a
was,
little different than most people's.
It was very sweet. It was very cool. Do you have any Shakespeare memorized?
No.
What was actually...
Nothing other than like cheesy Romeo and Juliet lines or something.
What was really funny is they'd come up to me and they had to tell me where it was from. Mm-hmm. And they always were like, from and Midsummer Night's Dream. And I always knew if it was correct or not, which concerns me.
It is a little concerning. Midsummer Night's Dream is a terrible play.
That is not a true statement.
No, it's awful. It's awful.
So anyway, that was pretty nerdy, I think.
Yeah, no. You're not wrong. Yay, Shakespeare. Go, Bill.
You can't see. Brandon is like grimacing and shaking his head.
I like two Shakespeare plays.
You like Macbeth.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You like Hamlet.
Yeah. Yeah,
Hamlet. I think Hamlet is overrated. I go on very long rants about this.
I think it's overrated, but I like that everybody dies at the end.
Oh, so. Yeah, no, that's very cool. You'd like King Lear.
And I like Rosencrantz and Guildenstern.
Oh, yes, that's true. I like Hamlet. I just think it's overrated. I teach King Lear, and I'm about to start that soon. You'd like it because I actually stand at the board and just cross names off our character list. Then the last act is like, and dead, and dead, and dead.
Okay, yeah. I think this might be a little too much Shakespeare okay, content.
Sorry. Can't help it. Okay. So, another thing we always talk about is what you are drinking. What are you drinking?
Well, today, to celebrate the beautifulness of spring in April, where we got a foot of snow.
Yeah.
That's
yay,
a true,
Canada.
That's a true thing that happened.
It's still happening. It's still snowing.
Yeah. I'm drinking gin and peach bubbly.
How very springy of you.
Yeah, it's very refreshing if it was a nice spring day,
yeah.
Which it is not.
I am going much more in line with the actual weather.
Yes, you
and
are.
Drinking a hot toddy, because it is cold.
Yeah, it's not that cold.
It's cold. There, it is snowing, and it's April.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Near the end of April. And snowing lots.
No, a lot. Yeah. Yay, global warming. Climate change.
Climate change.
Yeah.
No more about the snow because it's making me sad. Let's talk about Marvel. Marvel doesn't make me sad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, last episode of Falcon and the Winter Soldier. We did the thing where we stayed up late.
Yeah.
We watched it.
You had to work the next day.
I did.
Good for you.
I did.
You soldiered on.
Winter soldiered on. Well, winter, it's snowing.
Yeah, exactly.
We just established this.
Well, my personal opinion, I was actually surprised at the structure of this last episode.
Okay.
Hit you right up in the face.
It's true.
And then it had a little time for denouement at the end. I don't know. I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the twists I don't really agree with, and a lot of people are on the same page with that one, but I'm not going to talk about it because we're not spoiling anything.
No, we're not spoiling anything. I will say this, though. Next week, we'll talk about this again at the end of the show, but next week we're going to do a Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Deep dive,
yeah. So you have 1 week to watch it is kind of what we figured we'd do.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So then we can talk about the one that you don't agree with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. Deal.
They have a chance to redeem it with other plot coming after, but...
We haven't talked about this, so after we're done recording, I'm very curious to hear what you have to say.
Yeah.
I liked it. It is enjoyable. It is a whole lot of fun. It is not as intense as... It's natural to compare it to WandaVision.
Yeah.
It is not as intense as that. You know, you don't have your deep digging for all the things or anything. But if you just want, really solid, good action, this one definitely has it. I loved what they did with the characters.
Mm-hmm.
They took, themes and stuff much further than I was expecting them to do. So it was really enjoyable that way.
This easily could have been a movie.
Yeah.
But because it was a 6-episode... So you have 6 hours, basically.
Yeah,
you could do more character development, and most of it was good.
Yes.
I'm fine with that.
I knew it was going to be good. It was better than I expected.
It was a solid B+, A-, whereas WandaVision, I think, was a solid A.
Okay, for me, WandaVision was an A+, and this one was between an A- and an A for me.
Yeah, I wouldn't give it WandaVision an A+ just because they teased you a little too much.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's fair. I loved it, so.
Yeah.
Disney A News Update.
So, following up with Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
They announced that the creator of that series is going to get Captain America 4.
Mm-hmm.
Officially greenlit that. That might be a slight spoiler, but no official word on what the plot's going to be or what's going on. But Or who's in it or anything. But yeah, there's going to be another Captain America movie.
That's pretty exciting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. We don't have a date or anything
Just officially announced. I mean, they got to catch up on their movies. They still got to release Black Widow Shang-Chi and...
Oh, a trailer for that came out
this week.
That did,
yes.
Sorry, I didn't mean to take that from your news.
No,
just,
that's,
I was excited
that's fine.
About it.
That's fine, yeah. So, Shang-Chi trailer came out, and they showed the real Mandarin in the trailer. That's pretty cool.
That's exciting.
And it looks very kung fu.
Yep.
Which I am definitely down for.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's exciting. Lots of cool stuff happening in Marvel, basically.
I know.
Like, they have... They have a year worth of backlog of stuff to come out, so.
And I think they're just, it's an effort just to pace it properly.
They need not to trip over their own feet, basically.
Right. That looks awesome.
And then the other Disney news is they had a sneak peek of their brand new cruise ship, which is kind of funny because cruises have had a bad time, worse than even anything else.
Right.
Like, a cruise ship is a bad place to be during a pandemic.
Yes.
So they've been shut down for a long time, and they're not going to be started up. Like, it's going to be a while before they're started up again. But they have revealed their new, the Disney Wish cruise ship, and it looks pretty nice.
It really does. It's beautiful.
I've been on a Disney cruise ship, and it was pretty fun. But these new ones, they're chock-a-block full of cool stuff to do, cool places to eat. And
it's so high on my wish list. Yeah. My wish list.
But, like, it's good for families. They got stuff for kids and teens, but they've also got a whole bunch of stuff just for adults. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really well balanced. And
yeah.
I'm looking forward to doing a Disney cruise with you.
And just watching me completely nerd out over
everything.
Yeah,
you'll be in there with the kids going, ah!
And crying.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Do you have any other news items you want to talk about?
Well, a lot of the big news coming out right now is about Disneyland opening, so I think we can talk about that in our main topic.
Yeah.
So, all right, sounds good. At the park. Okay, so I kind of figured what we could do is run through a bunch of the parks, their opening dates, if they're open or not open, maybe a little, I don't know, word or two about each one, and then we'll end with Disneyland since, of course, that's our focus.
Sounds good to me.
All right. Let's start with Magic Mountain Six Flags. Now, you said this would be, like, very high on your list to go to.
Yeah, so, I mean, this isn't a theme park. It's an amusement park.
Yeah.
But it's, like, heavy duty on the roller coasters.
Right.
If you had no other people there, this would be, like, my top place to go. It kind of sucks because it's out of the way. It's not close to anything else. And the lineups are outrageous.
Right.
But the roller coasters there are just amazing. So, yeah, I'd like to go here. They opened right on April 1st soon as they could.
The first 2 days were for, like, annual pass holders, and general California residents were welcome back the 3rd.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they opened, like they got the green light April 1st, and they went, okay.
They're like, yeah, we're gonna go. but they have less stuff to do. They don't have crazy restaurants or anything.
True.
It's all about the roller coasters. And you just have a good time there.
I've never been. I will hold your stuff on the ground.
It's a tough one, because if you're there for the other parks, like, they have bus tours to go there from Anaheim and stuff, but you don't have enough time in the park to really enjoy it.
Right, especially not with those lineups.
Yeah, so, I don't know. Six Flags is high on my list, but
yeah,
it's a tough one.
So, like everywhere else, there's, of course, a park reservation system in place, and helps manage crowd capacity. So you need both a reservation and a ticket. I'm not going to repeat this with everyone. This is the first one. You need one.
It's it's standard. You need a reservation.
Yeah. So let's just assume that's true for all of these.
Mm-hmm.
And the big thing, which is really exciting, was there was a brand new West Coast Racers. Was a dueling steel coaster. It opened in 2020, just before the start of the pandemic. Yeah, so it's basically like a new attraction.
It was open for like a month or two.
Right.
And yeah, the theming of this is not great for me. West Coast Chopper, whatever, who cares? But dueling coaster is great.
Yeah.
I think that's cool, if they can do it right.
Yeah.
One of my favorite roller coasters of all time was Dueling Dragons back in Universal Florida, which doesn't exist anymore, but it was awesome.
Looped it. Got off from back
on that. I went on that a ton back in the day, and it was...
Back in the day. You sound so old.
Wow. That's because I am.
Oh.
And you're older than me, so
yes.
Welcome to the club.
Get off my lawn.
That's right.
My snow-covered lawn. Yeah, so that sounds kind of cool. If you're a roller coaster fan, you're probably happy about this. Then let's go SeaWorld San Diego. Have you been to the SeaWorld in San Diego?
I have, yeah. I did a day there the last time. Well, the first time I went to California, actually.
2008.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did a quick day there. It's actually a pretty good park.
Yeah, I liked. I know SeaWorld has had some issues.
Well, you got the animal rights issues, and that's one thing.
Yes.
I don't think orcas should be in captivity doing shows and stuff like that. But they have other animals that are more suited to being in captivity. They're injured and whatnot, and the sea lion show is actually a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
And they have some pretty good rides too, like the water rides and the like. What was this, like Escape from Atlantis or something?
Right, yeah. Like that. I don't remember what it's actually called, but yes.
Yeah. No, I like SeaWorld, but apparently they're playing fast and loose with their pandemic rules.
That was one thing I want to talk about. So first, before we get to that, so the animal exhibits have been open, but the rides and attractions are going to officially open on, or they have officially opened on the 12th. And then, yeah, like you said, there's a lot of comments that I keep hearing, that we keep hearing about, you know, interpretation of the rules.
They don't really care about social distancing.
Yeah.
Maybe don't care about California residency so much. Stuff like that. I don't know. Whatever. We're not going anyway, so.
No, but it is something that if you're concerned about, you know, maybe be aware of. Like, this is, of course, coming from, you know, we're hearing from people who are hearing who live in California. Yeah, it's obviously not there.
Third hand at this point. But.
But that is definitely something to consider.
Yeah.
Okay, so they open on the 12th. Shortly after that, we had Legoland.
Legoland.
I didn't even think to look this up first until I was looking at a list of like what was and wasn't open. So Legoland opened on the 15th. What was kind of cool is they do have characters, socially distanced meet and greets, and things like that. So, yeah, if you want to, if you're a Legoland fan, no, you're shaking your head. You like Lego.
I like Lego. I don't even get a Legoland.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay, so anyway, Legoland is open. And the same kind of thing, right? You have your, obviously, masking everywhere and social distancing and...
Cool. Yeah. I'll play with Lego at home.
Okay, deal.
Yeah.
I was in the middle of making a huge Lego thing.
Yeah.
When I'm finished, that's going to be my nerd thing.
Okay.
But it's like a many day process.
Yeah, it's a big set.
It's a big one. Yeah. It's awesome, though. Okay, then we have Knott's. Now, Knott's is, I think, as far as I know, the last thing to open. As they announced it, Knott's has had events going basically this whole time.
They were really progressive with their events. Like, they were like the first one to open
up
and doing the food stuff. And
they were really organized. They were really successful in it. I think they found a lot of success in this.
Well,
as far as you can could do.
They were lucky because they had a loophole of being a restaurant first.
Yes.
And so they kind of played off that.
Yes.
And then they opened the whole park for visiting and like Western meet and greets type of thing. So
right. What's kind of cool this year is Knott's 100 year anniversary. Isn't that cool? So what happened was, as they announced it, they had this event going on, like through a lot of April.
Mm-hmm.
So they couldn't cancel the event. So they had to wait.
Already sold tickets.
Exactly, exactly. So they're not going to open until May 21st,
Very late.
Yeah, because the event has to end, and then, of course, they have to transition into, you know, like getting ready for attractions
and
everything.
Yeah,
you
got to
like
test
that.
The rides.
It takes time.
Retrain your staff.
Exactly.
Stuff like that.
Exactly. Now, what's cool about Knott's, though, is it is allowing parkgoers to purchase new annual passes, and that's not true for a lot of these parks that offer annual passes.
Actually, I think Disney's the only one that does.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know about
SeaWorld and Legoland. Universal, definitely.
Oh, I just thought they were honoring. I didn't think you could purchase.
No, I'm pretty sure you can.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
Magic Mountain, I think, as well.
Okay, well, never mind then. Yeah, any season ticket purchased prior to reopening will be valid for the remainder of the year. And they also are offering a day-to-day extension in 2022 for the number of the days the park was closed in 2021. So 4 months of ticketed days automatically to 2022. And you're going to talk about the price of these.
If I was in California, I would be jumping all over this.
It is crazy. It costs less.
It's less than 2 days you can buy an annual pass. Because a day ticket at Knott's is $55. An annual pass right now is $101.
And that $101, like I just said, is going to take at least 4 months into 2022.
It's crazy.
That's insane.
Even if it was only 2021,
yeah,
it would be
a
steal
price.
Of a deal.
Yeah, so if you're going more than once.
And if you bump it up to $135, you get access to their water park when it opens
as
well.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Yeah, I mean, it's just really good value.
If you live in California, you should be buying annual passes to Knott's. That's just, you could be like, I want, like, one ride and dinner or whatever, and let's go buy some. You know what I mean? Like,
and Knott's isn't like a crazy. It's not comparable to Disneyland.
No. But it's fun.
But it's fun, and they actually have really good roller coasters as well. Their high end thrill stuff is way better than Disneyland.
I've only been to Knott's once, And I have the problem where theming is like 100% for me. And Knott's actually does okay with theming.
And they've gotten better in recent years.
But that's it. Yeah. They were working on getting better. And now they seem to be much better. I'm not like a massive thrill ride person.
No.
So it was kind of like the stuff was either too young, like geared towards the little kids, or it was too extreme. And it seems now, because they're leaning more into the theming and stuff like that, that I'd be much happier there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
know you'd love it.
I've only been to Knott's once, and it was a half day, but it was the best value of a theme park I've been to.
Well, you're talking about value now. If you have an annual pass, that's like crazy.
It's crazy. You
if
go,
you want get an annual pass, go for chicken dinner, go for a couple rides, and you're good.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Okay, so but you have to wait till May 21st.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool, though.
I could do that. We're going to be waiting a lot longer.
We're
going
to be waiting a lot longer than May 21st. Okay, then, now we're talking Universal.
Yeah.
Okay, so Universal and SeaWorld, I've been to the second most in California, other than, of course, Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
I like Universal. I've, of course, never been to the Florida one. I know it is natural for you to compare it to the Florida one, which is, of course, bigger and it's better and everything.
Horribly disappointed in Universal when I went, but...
But that's because you loved Universal Florida so much.
Universal Florida is a theme park, whereas Universal Studios Hollywood is an old studio tour trying to be a theme park.
But now here's the thing. It has completely changed since we were there.
Yeah, they have more stuff, but it's still cramped and tiny.
I really want to see the Harry Potter stuff. Like, haven't been...
The Harry Potter stuff looks very good, but right. I still have in my mind, it's like, it's going to be small.
Okay, well, that part doesn't bother me, because, of course, I don't have that comparison. My problem with it is, Harry Potter notwithstanding, a lot of the changes they're making, and I'm not anti-change, I'm anti-changing a focus on films that are not going to, like, stand the test of time.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, one of the things I'm going to talk about in here is the changes to Jurassic World now.
Wow.
And I'm not anti-changing things in Jurassic World, but they didn't need to, like, completely overhaul it. Updating certain things, absolutely. Incorporating it to Jurassic Park, Jurassic World, absolutely. But when you have different things in the park where they've taken out, you know, classic movies to put in something like, I don't know, a huge focus on Fast and the Furious. I'm like, okay, Fast and the Furious, it's like, I love watch those. Those are super fun.
Very popular movie.
Yeah, I totally get that. But nobody is going to be talking about Fast and the Furious 80 years from now.
No.
There are movies that Universal did 80 years ago that people still talk about.
Yeah.
And if you completely ignore those, then you're going to have a problem. So that's my only problem with Universal.
In general, the transition from Jurassic Park to Jurassic World being the forefront of merch and all that stuff is a big pet peeve of mine.
Yes, it is.
And it, because like Jurassic Park is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Jurassic Park is probably, okay, I'm gonna say, as far as action movies go, for sure, Jurassic Park is one of the best movies of all time.
Well, it's not a pure action movie. But
No, it isn't, but that's why it's so good.
And then another Universal movie that they've kind of put to the side, they have some merch for it and they play it out for Halloween, but... Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
They need to put that more in the forefront. And maybe this new Ghostbusters movie that's coming out will help with that.
Maybe.
But I don't know.
But, or they had Back to the Future, of course, redid it. I'm not even necessarily against, you know, taking everything out or changing or updating or those kind of things. But they, like, throw all of their eggs in the basket of this new movie coming out.
New movie, yeah.
And I think a good example of that is one I wanted to talk about. So The Secret Life of Pets Off the Leash.
This brand new ride.
Brand new ride. Like, they finished it during...
It was scheduled to open, like, March 23rd or something, and the park's closed,
great
like,
timing.
A week before that.
Now, we've watched a couple ride-throughs. Everything I've seen here about this is, it's actually a really, really good ride.
It's a well-put-together dark ride.
So, I want your opinion on this, but before I do that, here's the general idea.
Okay.
It's a really well-put-together dark ride, you said. It features 64 animated figures.
Animatronics, yeah.
Yep. All of the characters and stuff like that you've seen from
their
movies,
dogs,
if you watch them,
cats.
And cats, yeah.
And a bunny.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunny. Yeah.
There's a bunny, yep. Here's the thing. If you ride this, you can appreciate it and understand things like
without
that.
Without watching the movie.
Without watching the movie, which is good. But in 10 years, is anyone going to know The Secret Life of Pets?
Yeah, no, but it might be okay just because it is dogs.
Animals, and it's
animals
cute.
Animals are cute, and it doesn't really matter.
Now,
it doesn't
the queue matter for this looks insane, by the way. This looks amazing.
Well, queue is part of the ride.
It is,
They have, like, full-fledged animatronics in it and stuff.
Basically, it's like a walkthrough portion of the ride.
Yeah, it's more like a walkthrough attraction than it is a queue,
but
I think.
So, like, this, I think, will be okay, just, like, the attraction will be. But it'll be full of people who are like, what is this from?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And you're like, whatever, there's cute puppies and kitties and whatever. It's fun and stuff like that. But you're not going to have... So it would have been gone by the time you went. But, like, I got to ride, like, Back to the Future and E.T. Like, it doesn't matter how old you are. Well, I mean, maybe not now. But, like, decades later, you knew what E.T. was. Did the ride need an overhaul? Absolutely. But, like, you can't get rid of all the classic things.
Yeah. I think you need to focus more on the classics. But that's maybe my oldness talking.
Maybe. Get off my lawn again.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this ride
Get off my lawn. That's the episode title right there.
But this ride does look awesome. I will definitely say that. It looks really, really cool. The ride vehicles look like takeout boxes, which is really fun. It looks like
different cardboard boxes. Yeah.
It looks like an excellent dark ride.
Because you're like an animal playing in the cardboard boxes. Yeah, it's fun.
And I like
they have a good integration between technology with the screens.
Literally what I was just about to say.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay. Keep going. You're right.
Yeah, like, so they have a lot of, like, practical effects with animatronics, which is good.
Yes.
Because it helps it keep from being dated.
Well, you don't want it to look dated in 2 years.
Yeah. But they also have some screens and some cool stuff where, like, you turn into a puppy dog.
Oh, that looks awesome.
Looking at yourself and stuff like that. So I like that.
Yes.
Because Universal is a little dependent on the screen aspect.
Yeah.
And this is pulling it back and making it more Disney-ish, if I would say.
Yeah, well, I think just it looks like a great dark ride.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks great.
Subject matter aside.
There's cute puppies and kitties, so I'm okay with it. I just think it's emblematic of this issue that,
like,
they have.
We've seen Secret Life of Pets, and I don't remember it at all.
Right.
And gone. Like, it's not...
That's fair. There's cute little animals running around, so whatever.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I remember watching being like, oh, this is fun.
I
couldn't tell you the plot.
It was very forgettable. Is the thing.
The other new kind of attraction is, while the park was closed, Jurassic World got a major update. Specifically, the attraction finale. There's an all-new Indominus Rex. Tripped over those words.
Indominus
Rex dinosaur. It is 55 feet from head to tail, and it's the one that, like, follows riders when they descend the big waterfall drop. When Jurassic Park first opened, I was terrified to go on this attraction. I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
It is a totally different attraction now, of course.
Well, no, I mean, it's the same track. It has the same basic premise. You start off, you're like touring.
I'm just saying, all the details are
touring the
now.
Park, and then you go into the building, and then bad things happen. It used to be that raptors would attack you, and now it's the Indominus Rex.
Well, at the very end, it was the T-Rex came down the head.
It's the same thing, like the T-Rex and the Indominus Rex battle, but
totally.
It was like the original Jurassic Park. It used to be the raptors and the T-Rex would battle instead, and that was way better, but...
Yes. Well, okay, so here's my thing. I don't know why I'm ranting about Universal so much right now. We were talking the screens.
Mm-hmm.
The opening with the screens actually looks really cool.
Yeah, they do well with that because you have... It's screen plus, like, real water spraying on you
stuff.
Yeah.
Do you know my... And I actually understand the, like, want to switch to Jurassic World. Like, even when... So I teach Jurassic Park the novel, and we watch Jurassic Park the movie, and the kids love it. But then they want to watch Jurassic World afterwards. I was like, what is wrong with you? But anyway, again, that might be because I'm old.
The first Jurassic World is actually a decent movie. It's just not better than Jurassic
Park. Well, that's the thing. Seriously, my only problem is with it, I want the gates to go through.
Yeah.
I want the Jurassic Park gates to go through.
Going through those gates and you're like, what do you got in there? King Kong?
Exactly.
And then the John Williams flourish.
Right?
Oh,
it was a moment.
So good.
It was a serious moment. And I think even if you wanted to change everything else, put the gates back, please.
And, like, you could make them Jurassic World gates. Like, they
Whatever.
Have the white gates.
I don't,
they
that's
had
fine.
Gates in Jurassic World.
Like, exactly.
Yeah, I don't
That's
know.
Fine. But, yeah. So, anyway, that got a new update. It looks awesome. You know, something like that, you do need to update the tech frequently.
Yeah, upgrade. Well, and it's also a water ride.
That's what
I
mean.
So there's, like, damage.
Right?
Like, the animatronics don't last forever sitting in water.
Exactly. So anyway, that's kind of cool. That just opened. Everything we see, these new attractions are very well received. The one thing we heard is that the lineups are move very slowly right now. They're kind of not quite used to dealing with people anymore and things like that.
Well, they have the problem. They have the problem of where to put the lineups, and they have the problem of filling the vehicles.
Yes,
because you're social distance. Like you get like six people on a boat on the Jurassic Park ride.
Yeah, that's a good example. So they're just kind of figuring out all that stuff. Now, the other thing about Universal is they are hand sanitizing you when you get on every attraction.
Which is interesting.
Which is interesting. And so a lot of, I guess, you know, conjecture is being made as like, is Disney going to do that? Or are they just going to have stations? Or like, what's...
Yeah, and like, they don't do that in Florida.
No, they don't. So that's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. A lot of the science is that like, touch transmission is not a super big risk. Yeah, so that might like be overkill, but
it might be, but I feel like they're like crossing all their T's, dotting all their I's.
I mean, yeah. they're exposing themselves to liability, right? Ooh. So they can say we've done absolutely everything and it's on you.
Yeah, that's interesting. The other thing that I want to bring up before we transition into Disneyland that we have heard and seen on YouTube and heard reports and things like that, they are not checking IDs at the gate. So this whole thing about like I keep saying SoCal, but at California residents only. You need to be a California resident to purchase your tickets. I guess they check, well, Disneyland,
the address says, on your credit card.
Exactly. But other than that, it's like the honor system.
You're not going to be checking everybody's ID. I think that's
Disneyland
kinda,
apparently did with the Canadian resident tickets. You had to bring your Canadian passport.
I think that was minimal, though.
Maybe. But anyway, so I guess the idea was that they would do something like that. But I mean, the logistics of that sound like a nightmare. But anyway, so it is interesting. And I think it points towards what Disneyland may or in this case may not do. Is the fact that Universal's not doing
it. I think it makes sense. You put it on the guest to say, yes, I am a California resident. And then the government can't put it on Disneyland.
Well, it covers their butts.
We asked them and they said yes. So it's
now,
on them.
So it came out lower, probably just as we finished recording last week, honestly.
Probably.
That, because then that always happens.
Yeah, all the
time. Like sometimes an hour later, and I'm like, are you kidding me? Anyway, it came out that California has said out-of-state visitors can visit parks if they are fully vaccinated. Now, this is, again, when we heard about SeaWorld, some were saying, well, or if you have a negative COVID test, and then they took that back. So anyway, there's just all this gray area about that. But if they say you are fully vaccinated, you can visit a theme park or an amusement park in California if you are out of state. But here's the thing. Disney has said no.
Yeah. So you got the difference between your state guidelines.
Yes.
And then theme parks can set their own guidelines as long as they're within those state guidelines.
Right. So Disneyland has said for reopening, they're for sure not going to do that. They're going to go by the guidelines at the time when they announced reopening. They would be able to open up more, or most likely would be able to
more
open
capacity,
up more.
More capacity, yeah.
Exactly. Thank you. But they're saying, you know, we're going to work up to that.
Yeah.
And the same thing with the out-of-state visitors.
Disneyland's having serious staffing problems from what
we
can gather.
I wanted to talk about that, actually. When we talk about what is and isn't open, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
So I think this whole, like, checking your California residency, they're putting it on you. And now they kind of, now that the governor said, well, you know, it's less of a concern, I guess is my point. The less of a liability, which is, of course, their focus.
That's all they really care about at the end of the day.
100%. Okay. So now that we're talking Disneyland.
Yep.
Let's do the general here first, and then I want to talk about the staffing specifically.
Sure.
So theme park tickets, park capacity, and everything is all versus the online reservation system. You cannot buy tickets on site.
No.
You have to have your ticket. You have to have your reservation. The only resort open is Grand Californian Resort and Spa opens on the 29th. And the Disney Vacation Club units will be open May 2nd, and that is it for the time being. There have been signs of Disneyland Hotel opening, but they haven't, like, they're not there yet.
Well, and the monorail is not running, so...
Exactly.
It wouldn't be... It'd be weird to be at the Disneyland.
Well, like it would be just to stay at the Disneyland.
Yeah, I guess.
And then, like we said before, if you're staying at a Disneyland Hotel, it's not guaranteeing you any reservations.
No, which is crazy, but... The interesting thing that we heard was that the restaurants in the Grand Californian are going to be for hotel guests only for the time being.
And that makes me wonder how many people are going to be staying there to actually utilize this.
Yeah, I don't know.
They must be working with a limited menu. A lot of the places that are opening meal-wise are working with a limited menu.
I mean, that's all around the world at this point.
It's true. But there are actual like barriers and things like that where you cannot
eat at
the California.
If you're not staying at the Grand California, you're not going to the Grand California 100%. At this point.
That's the idea. For the time being.
Yeah.
Yeah. So only California residents may visit the parks despite the announcement. They said at this point, even for future reservations, that's
unless,
what they're
unless honoring. You want to do risky business and
I just don't think it would be worth
it.
Yet.
I wouldn't do it, but you know, yeah, mm-hmm. Some people will try, I'm sure.
I'm sure you know, but basically, let's say in groups of no larger than 3 households, and they're following previous state guidelines as far as tier system and all that other stuff. April 19th was the last day for Touch of Disney. And then I've got some information about the food items that
I like
are opening.
Food?
Yeah, I thought so. So do I.
You're going to make me hungry, aren't you?
I'm sorry. We're recording this quite late. We haven't had supper yet, so I'm definitely going to make you hungry.
Yeah.
The Disney Parks blog posted a dining guide to Disneyland Resort reopening. And I wanted to talk to you about, when we're done kind of talking about the blurbs about staffing and all that other kind of fun stuff, I want you to pick an attraction you would ride if we were there, like your must do, and then a food item. So while I'm going through this list, let's think of a food item. You're already gonna say churro, aren't you?
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay.
No.
Turkey leg.
Oh.
Wait. Okay. Let's go through the list. So what is kind of cool before we even get to this is they actually are keeping some things from Touch of Disney.
Okay.
At different places. Isn't that cool?
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. Like, they haven't had their food festivals all year.
Yeah.
And, like, their Taste of California wine festival or whatever was shut down early.
The food and wine last year.
Food and wine. Yeah. So, like,
we were so excited to go to that.
No, don't. Yeah.
Yeah. It's okay. We will go. One of my favorite things is actually staying from the
Touch of Disney. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're actually going to keep the half Monte Cristo.
Oh, that's... That is good, because I would like to try, like, so here's the thing about me. I don't like sweet and savory mixed together.
I do. You're wrong.
It's not a thing I like, but I want to try Monte Cristo. It's sweet and savory together, but I think I might be able to handle it. I would like to try a small one.
Yes, they're quite large. So a half would be perfect. Actually, I still think we would share a half.
Share a half, yeah.
Those things are huge.
Even the sample, like the half size is
so
big.
This is very cool. They're keeping that. They're keeping the brisket mac and cheese. Also, my God.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that I said I'd be most excited to try, the s'mores shake.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That's super Instagram-y, but it's also right up your flavor category.
Oh, my
category.
God.
Yeah.
Looks so good. So that's the Smoke Jumper's Grill. They're really, really, really hammering on the mobile order.
Yeah, and so they were transitioning to that big time even before all this pandemic stuff happened.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's going to be, there's going to be QR codes everywhere. You're going to need a cell phone and just mobile order.
There are very few places that are not going to be offering mobile order, and those are basically like your few sit down places.
Yeah.
Going through this
and those will have mobile reservations.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
It's just more efficient.
It is. Well, they were moving towards it anyway. This just sped it up.
Sped it up.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to just very quickly run through this list. Also, do realize you can go on the Disney Parks blog. You can click on any of these and you can see what their menu options are for this time, because most of these places are offering with a very limited menu.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's something you are craving, you know, check.
To see if you can get it.
Yeah, you don't want to stand in line, put in your mobile order, whatever, and then be disappointed. Just know before you go, basically.
Yeah, just like anything.
Just like everything, yeah. And plus, it's fun to look at this stuff in advance.
Huh. Half the fun of a trip is researching all the stuff.
Kidding.
Like, you don't have to plan it down to the minute or anything like that.
No, but just like, ooh, this looks fun.
Get excited.
Well, like, we were just talking food and wine. It was super fun to go through all the menus and be like, ooh, what are some things we want to try? Like, and so...
Yeah, and then we got to try... No, wait.
No, we did not. No.
So, if your trip's not canceled by a global pandemic, it's a lot of fun to plan
right
in advance.
Exactly.
Big if, though.
Big if. Well, big if right now.
Yeah.
So, I'm just going to quickly run through this list. Bengal Barbecue, open. Cafe Orleans. Cafe Orleans does not have mobile order. Of course, it's a sit-down place.
Sit-down, yeah. The sit-downs, they'll have reservations, and that'll be...
You know, let's say this. I'm going to run through the list. If I don't, I will tell you if there's not mobile order.
Okay.
Okay. French Market Restaurant, Galactic Grill, Gibson Girl Ice Cream Parlor, yum. Jolly Holiday Bakery Cafe, Little Red Wagon, Market House. Oh, no mobile order for Market House. The Milk Stand. So if you want your green milk or your blue milk.
I do, actually.
I do, too. Like, I was very excited to try this. What would you try first? Blue?
I'd have one of each.
Fair. We each order one and then split.
You split and then you try them together because apparently that's a thing. That's a thing. So I don't know. Yeah.
Feel free to like message us with your favorite or if you like them. I've heard a lot of people just don't like either. Okay. So the Milk Stand is open. Mint Julep Bar, Plaza Inn. Now the Plaza Inn, just so you know, has fried chicken and that's it.
I mean, what else are you going to have at the Plaza Inn?
I will tell you this. So when Plaza Inn, so I'm from a fairly large family. There were six of us growing up.
Boy, howdy are you ever.
And the Plaza Inn, we always talk about how it's fantastic value.
It is the best value in Disneyland.
Right, but even a pasta dish or something like that is going to be better value than most other places.
Fried chicken. But not right now. At Plaza Inn.
Okay, but you can get your fried chicken. It's okay. That's available.
Yes.
Okay, so Plaza Inn, Red Rose Tavern, Riverbell Terrace, not mobile order. Of course, it's a sit-down place.
Sit-down, yeah.
Ronto Roasters.
There you go.
Yep. Ship-to-Shore Marketplace, Stage Door Cafe has the mobile order available, the Tropical Hideaway, Tune-Up Treats, and a whole whack of vending carts. Basically, your ice cream ones, your popcorn ones, your churros, all your snacks.
Yeah, the carts are easy. Like,
you can get a churro, you can get your corn dog, you can be happy.
And those are mobile order as well.
Yeah, exactly. Disney California Adventure Park. And that has adorable snowman, frosted treats, of course. Angry Dogs. Angry Dogs is not mobile order. And this one surprised me. I thought they would have inputted it. But anyway.
That's weird.
It's not listed. I mean, maybe it's coming
That's not a sit-down restaurant either.
No. That's the one that surprised me.
That's bizarre.
Maybe they're moving towards it and they're just not. It's just not on the list yet. Okay.
I'm shrugging, by the way.
Yeah, Award Wieners, though, is.
Yeah.
Cappuccino Cart, Carthay Circle.
Sit down.
Yes, exactly. Of course. So no. Cucina? I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, the Cucamonga Mexican Grill, the Cozy Cone, Fiddler, Pfeiffer, and Practical. That I don't know, but there's no mobile order available. Flo's V8 Cafe, Ghirardelli Soda Fountain and Chocolate Shop. No mobile order available. I'm not surprised by that one, even though it's not a sit-down.
No, that's more of like a, it's almost like a candy store.
Yeah, like a fountain shop kind of thing.
You go in there.
Yeah, like a thing. Yeah. Like, it's part of the experience to go in and pick up.
It's more like a store than it is a restaurant.
Exactly. Okay, yeah. So the Hollywood Lounge. Lamplight Lounge, of course, is not mobile order. And also, but make your reservations.
Yeah, well, you have your QR code and it's like a...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep, okay. Pacific Wharf Distribution. There is mobile order, but it's available through the Cucina Cucamonga Mexican Grill.
Right.
Okay. So it's not directly through Pacific Wharf. The Poultry Palace. Now, this is another one that's not listed as mobile order. Rita's Baja Blenders.
Ooh, margarita.
Yes. Now, the mobile order for that is also available through the Cucina Cucamonga Mexican Grill. Smoke Jumpers Grill, the Sonoma Terrace, Studio Catering Co., and that mobile order is available through Hollywood Lounge. And then, of course, again, you have all of your vending carts.
Well, Cozy Cone.
I said Cozy Cone. Cozy Cone Motel.
I missed it.
That's because you were still thinking about the Cucamonga Mexican Grill.
Yeah.
This is right after that.
Cozy Cone. I love a Cozy Cone. Oh, man.
Yeah. I mean, like, how can you go wrong with Cozy Cone? Everything is better in a cone.
Yeah.
Like they did for Touch of Disney, they're going to have characters available. They're going
distant
to...
Distant characters.
Exactly. Yeah. We've seen this in Disney World, and some of it looks really cool. You know what my favorite is? Winnie the Pooh chasing butterflies. I mean, really, anything with Winnie the Pooh is
Winnie the Pooh in a little field, and he's got a little butterfly net, and he's like, doop, 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 doop.
It's so cute. What I'm actually kind of really excited to see the creativity they go with this.
Yeah.
Like, I love during Touch of Disney, Goofy fishing.
Yeah, that was great. When they had them up on like the symphony swings, I thought that was kind of lame because they were too far away. They didn't have anything to do. They're kind of waving at people like a mile away. And it was like,
I appreciate that. I'm shocked they could even see them, but apparently they could. They were interacting really well.
So, speaking from experience, you cannot see very well when you're in these yes. giant mascot costumes.
If you missed an earlier episode, Brandon has talked about being a mascot before. Yes. Obviously not for Disney.
I had a summer job where I wore a fur mascot costume, and it's very uncomfortable.
Yep.
You wear an ice pack, and you're still roasting to death.
Despite fans and ice packs.
And you can't see very well. And the particular costume I was wearing, kids did not like very much because it was like a big hairy mountain man. Very scary for children. So I made lots of children cry.
Okay, be honest. Was it kind of funny to do
that? It was a little funny.
But you also felt a little bad.
But I felt a little bad. I'm like, I'm here to be fun for the children and they're crying. And what do I do?
Yeah. How old were you when you did that?
I was like 16.
Oh man.
Nah,
it was fun.
It was good. It was good pay, but it was really uncomfortable.
Right. And so you're surprised as well that these people could see.
Yeah, it's hard to see under those big heads. Yeah. Like you usually look out of a mouth.
Yeah.
Or something, but like yeah, it's tough to see.
Sometime I want to talk about all the different character interactions, but right now I'm actually really interested in how and the specific ways that they're going to do these things. I don't know. There hasn't come out if they're going to have cavalcades like they do in Disney World.
They should.
I think they're awesome.
I think that makes sense.
Absolutely. Of course, parades are not going to be running. Fireworks are not going to be running. Phantasmic's not going to be running. Any of those things.
The cavalcades make sense because they're impromptu.
Exactly.
You hear the music and then you see it. You don't have people gathering and waiting
for hours for a parade
or exactly. fireworks. And they just go by and it's fun.
Yeah.
It's like, well, there it is, and there it's gone.
Exactly. So obviously you don't have the space for, you know, Winnie the Pooh to be running through a field or anything like that, but I'm really curious to see what they do in terms of space and character interactions.
They have an opportunity to make it cool, and they have an opportunity to make it boring.
Exactly. I'm optimistic. I'm hopeful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see.
There's two big issues right now. One, cast members coming back.
Yeah.
Okay. So a lot of things are not on this list, which I would expect to be on this list, or a couple things that I would expect to be.
Restaurants to open up, that would be logical.
Yeah, or some of the stores. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where you're like, okay, but you know, you can social. So it's not socially distancing issues. Like, for example, this one really caught me. Hungry Bear Restaurant. First of all, I love Hungry Bear Restaurant. It is fantastic. It is a nice, usually quiet, quite frankly.
Well, there's your problem, right? It's exactly. It's tucked away in Critter Country. Mm-hmm.
But it's all outdoors, so it's not a COVID situation.
No, it's outdoors, but it's tucked away and it's out of the way.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about this now, I think.
Yes, I think so. Yeah.
They are having staff come back, but not all the staff that they had come back.
Of course.
And
it's been over a year. They've gotten other jobs.
Yeah, people have gotten other jobs, and you have, like, natural turnover throughout the year.
Exactly. And, but now it's just all at
you,
once.
But you backfill that as it comes along,
yeah.
But it's all at once.
Yeah.
And even the people that are coming back haven't been working for a year.
Yeah.
I go on holidays for 2 weeks, and I don't remember how to do my job.
Don't tell your bosses that.
No, they say the same thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's crazy. Well, so I'm not going to get all like teachery here or anything like that, but there are actual studies. And one of the concerns with, I mean, like it's
a
different,
full,
of course, because of yes, with, it's, of course, it's different with teenagers, but it still applies, is the fact that when you are off for 2 months, you actually start to lose the information and the memories of
definitely.
These things.
Definitely. It doesn't take 2 months, literally like a week. It's not like super extreme, but it's definitely.
And then you're like, oh yeah,
it's like it's a little bit of a learning curve to get like, oh yeah, this is what
there's
I'm
a
doing.
Reason
yeah.
why people talk about routine.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're in a routine, and that's sometimes negative and that's sometimes positive. But when you're doing a job, you have to get back into the routine. It takes some time for that to happen.
And what? And you got, as a cast member, you got to be happy go lucky all the
100%.
Time. You got to have that Disney magic, have 100%. A magical day.
And quite frankly, they have had over a year of. Well, not necessarily like all these people, but just like the world has had over a year of some not necessarily happy-go-lucky times.
They're not getting paid, first of all,
yeah.
which is a big deal for most people.
Well, yeah.
The government in the States didn't help people without jobs.
It's true.
For a year,
not
very much.
Really.
They
no.
had two stimulus checks. In Canada, we were getting... Anyone without a job was getting a check every month.
That's true. It's true.
So it was a little easier here, but
yeah, and still not easy.
No. Like just the uncertainty.
Yeah. Well, that by, even if you were getting paid, the uncertainty of it and, okay, so we both are.
The uselessness feeling.
Yes,
oh.
Yes. So we both are very fortunate. We're first of all, we're in Canada. So, I mean, we didn't have to worry about that part. But we have been able to keep our jobs.
Yep.
You do 100% of your job now from home until you get called back to the office. I am, of course, going.
Hopefully.
Just 100% of your job at home, yeah, period. Oh. Full stop.
It's great.
Yeah. You're really good. I know a lot of people talk about like not being able to set aside like work time and like home time. You're really good. Like you have a good schedule.
No. Oh, when I'm at work, I'm at work. And when I turn off the work lights.
Yeah, you actually have lights in the house. That are, like,
I turn on the work lights and I'm at work and I turn off the lights and I'm not at work anymore.
You have a really good routine. Everything that as a teacher, I've been back in person since the beginning of this school year. Some school divisions in Alberta have gone to at home for the time being. We have not at this point.
We're fighting the third wave which is not good, but.
But we've been very lucky that we've been able to keep our jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Even
not everybody
as exactly. But even in that, the reality of living through like a major historical event, quite frankly, specifically like a pretty negative one. This isn't like, yay,
a few negative
flying
ones at the same
cars.
Time.
Exactly. Yeah. Is a stressor. So I can only imagine the uncertainty of like not being able to work.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like we have, you know, we're not worried about paying our bills.
No.
Right? We're not worried about like losing our house. We've been able to.
We're not worried about eating.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So not all of them, obviously, but a lot of cast members have been in that situation and then they have to turn around and be like super happy go lucky.
Have a magical day.
Yeah. And bring the magic for everybody else. And I don't know if I can fully express how much I want to say like hats off to these people.
Yeah, and
they're not making a ridiculous amount of money to do this.
No, and they're going to be excited to be back at work. The ones
that's totally true.
Can get back to it, but it's still quite a switch from.
That's what I mean. They've had over a year of complete uncertainty, complete stress, and things like that. And now, let me put on a smile and show you where everything is.
And most of them love Disney to be doing
100%. I always thought I would love to be a cast member.
You would.
Yeah, I would.
I don't like people enough. So
I did work in customer service through university, and I was fine with it. Plus, you know, Disney, awesome. A lot of cast members did go find other work, or they decided not to come back for whatever reason. So you have fewer coming in. You have new ones coming in. You have to train, and quite frankly, you just can't open at whatever capacity it is to begin with. You can't open everything.
You gotta stagger stuff. You gotta professional sports have training camps.
Exactly.
Customer service is
it's
big deal. So you gotta train yourself back up, and you gotta get back at it. So
there's certain things that I think are gonna change in coming weeks after the parks open.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking food, so like I do think more places are gonna open.
It's gonna ramp up.
Exactly.
It's
the menus are gonna are gonna ramp up. You know, just as more come in. The other thing I just briefly wanted to talk about before we get to trivia is there are still a fair number of online reservations.
Yeah. They're not selling out as quickly as anybody thought.
Exactly. And so there was that big question. So now a lot of people are likening this to when they thought they were going to sell it like crazy and it was going to be super busy for when Galaxy's Edge opened. And then, of course, it wasn't. And people were like, oh, my goodness, is this like a failure? No.
The failure of Galaxy's Edge was super overblown. I think they've made tons of money on that thing.
They have. And the funny thing is, there weren't a bunch of people there. But, like, as people were going in, they were spending money, which is, it is a business.
I think the merch per square inch of Galaxy's Edge is better than anywhere else in Disneyland.
So even when we're talking Galaxy's Edge, when I'm like, ooh, I want to go to Galaxy's Edge. Yes, I want to ride the things and everything like that. But more than anywhere else, I'm like, I want to build a droid. I want to do this. I want to have that food item. I want it, like, it's that immersive experience, right? And I think they really were, that the people who were there were going to spend a lot of money.
Yeah.
And so it didn't matter that there weren't as many people there. So,
but
anyway.
It is interesting that they're not sold out except for basically opening day and like opening weekend and opening
after
day.
Avengers Campus.
Avengers Campus weekend is pretty a tough ticket. But everything else is still pretty fairly open. wide open.
Yeah, you have some options there, including park hoppers. Mm-hmm. Now, we've heard things that people are like, well, you know, their annual pass holders are upset, things like that.
Yeah, well, be upset then, I guess.
Yeah, well, but here's the thing that I would like to remind people. Right now, only California residents can buy tickets.
That's a big thing as well. Like, California is a really big state, populous.
It is.
But it is only one
state. It is one state.
No other countries.
Exactly. Here's the other thing. Yes, you had annual pass holders from all over the place, but most of your annual pass holders lived in California. Mm-hmm. So when they're like, oh, well, annual pass holders can't go, so now the parks are going to fail. Yeah, no. Wait until it opens to other states or, crazy concept, other countries.
And they'll be bringing back annual passes shortly.
It'll just look different as all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be, my guess, throwing this out on the dartboard, but it's going to be, there's going to be basically tiers of a flex pass system.
I think so. I think that's our closest, like, idea of what it's going to look like.
You're basically going to have your reservations as an annual pass holder so they can gauge attendance, and you can pay more for more reservations so you can go, you can lock down your days that you're able to go.
There will be tiers.
And then,
there will be passes.
You could probably pay a whole crap load and not have reservations, but it's going to be a pricey
super pricey
ticket,
yeah. And you know what? People will pay it.
Yeah, they'll pay it and it'll be limited and they'll be fine with that.
Yeah, but Disneyland is not going to fail just because they currently do not have annual passes. And these things being open is not a sign that Disneyland is going to fail. It is a sign that currently there are not annual passes for the California people who want annual passes. And it's not open to anyone who does not live in California, which would have made up for the annual passes, I think. Or at least largely.
Okay, so let's take this back and say we're California residents.
Woohoo!
And we're able to go to Disneyland.
That means it is not snowing.
It's not snowing.
Like it is here.
Yeah. So we're able to go to Disneyland.
Woohoo! Oh my god, that'd be so nice.
What are you riding and what are you eating?
So I've talked about this before with you.
Yeah.
In my ideal world, if I had that ticket for opening day, the first thing I would do, which is I think what a lot of Disney fans would do, is I'd want to ride the railroad all the way around and then get off again.
Full circle tour.
Yeah. And then get off again at New Orleans Square and then do Pirates and then Haunted Mansion.
Circle tour plus one stop.
Plus one stop. Exactly. Now, ideally, though, that's ideal. I think if we were actually there, we'd book her to Splash Mountain because we're roped off Splash Mountain. It's going to change, and I really wish I could ride it one more time. It's not looking great, but we don't have a date for when it's going to close for refurb. That is one of my favorite rides in the park, and so I think we would roped off drop that.
I give it a 50-50 chance that we get there before it closes.
Exactly. Which, and you know, I'm not like anti it changing. I have definite opinions about certain things they shouldn't do. But yeah, so one of those two items.
Okay.
Yep. And you said what was the other? Oh, what do I want to eat?
Yeah. What do you want to eat?
I want to eat Dole Whip. Of course. Dole Whip.
No.
I have like a Dole Whip budget.
Should have seen that coming.
I know. I was thinking, like, I mean, if Blue Bayou was open, I'd be like, ooh, I want to eat a Blue Bayou or something like that. But if I'm picking just one item, I'm picking a Dole Whip. Like, that's just it.
Interesting.
Okay. What about you?
So, for me, I'm going to eat a Ronto wrap.
Fair.
I want a Ronto wrap. I've never had a real park Ronto wrap.
Yeah, you've only
wrap,
had the ones I've made you.
And they look amazing, and it's in Star Wars land.
You like the ones I've made you. Not the same.
They're from the cookbook, which is not,
different.
It's not the recipe that they use in the park. It's
inspired
just, it's the in-universe version. Exactly. It's this whole thing. They're delicious.
Ronto wrap. Good idea.
I want a Ronto wrap, and I do want to try Blue Milk.
Fair.
Yeah. Fair. But the ride I want to go on is actually Mission Breakout, the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, you're going DCA.
Yeah, I'm going DCA.
Yeah.
There's lots of stuff I want to do in Disneyland. That's
100%.
That's fine.
100%.
But I haven't gone on Mission Breakout.
Right,
Tower of Terror. I like Guardians of the Galaxy, and I loved Tower of Terror. I want to see what they did with that.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see.
That's a great choice. Mm. That is a fantastic choice. My other kind of gut thing was to say Haunted Mansion because they have done updates.
Yeah.
They've done some significant updates, and I want to see that.
But if I had to choose one,
that's fair.
That's what it would
good
be.
Good choice.
Yeah.
Good choice. And yeah, great. I will come with you to eat a Ronto wrap. Go on Mission Breakout. You want to come with me to Dole Whip?
I don't like pineapple.
You will come with me while I eat a Dole Whip?
Yeah. I guess. I mean, the Tiki Room's not open, so.
I think Tiki Room's open.
Oh, is it?
Tiki Room's open, yeah.
I thought, oh, no, because it's not quite a 15-minute show, right. So they're able to
open
it.
Yeah, it's like 12 minutes or something like that. They're able to make it work.
Yeah.
And then the other thing to mention very quickly is there's a brand new attraction. Mostly. Snow White has been completely redone. Like, totally different
story.
It's
not a scary adventure anymore.
No, it's an enchanted wish.
Mm.
There's a part in it, though, that I think is awesome of the scary adventure. I mean, like, totally needed updating, don't get me wrong. But the part where she turns around, she's become the witch, kind of the hag kind of
witch. Yeah, it was a cool effect.
It was super cool, and I'm not optimistic about them keeping that in there. We'll see.
We'll see. We'll see. I mean, it's a kid's ride, so whatever.
Whatever, but... yeah, whatever. But, yeah, so there is a brand new one, of course. If I'm just picking one thing, that's not it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, good choices.
Yeah, I'm always going to go for the thrill ride anyway.
Of course
anyway,
you are.
So.
Of course you are. Okay. So I thought this was going to be a super quick episode. We've talked about this for a long time. So,
well, it's exciting. The parks are opening.
My God, we're so excited. We're so excited. But anything to add before we go to trivia?
I think I'm good. I'm really hungry for a Ronto wrap right now. But again, if I could Chewbacca roar, this would be a good place for it.
I know. We will be, like, glued to, you know, our YouTubers and our vlogs and stuff like that we really like.
Yeah, maybe that'll be a good May episode. We can
I
do
think we're gonna
our
do
top
it May.
YouTubers.
Yeah.
There's good stuff. You can live vicariously through.
Especially now with the parks opening.
And they're super into Disney, and you can nerd out with them vicariously.
So
it's
fun.
It's great.
Yeah. We're going to do that in May. I'm not sure which time in May, but we're going to do it in May.
Mm-hmm.
I've decided.
Mm-hmm.
We've decided. Okay. We've been chatting about this long enough. Let's go to trivia.
Okay.
Okay, so last week we were talking Oscars. We're recording on Saturday, so of course the Oscars haven't happened. They're happening tomorrow. Congrats to the winners.
Yeah, hopefully Nomadland didn't win Best Picture, but it probably did.
Yeah. I'm going to jump on this. Congrats to Soul.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to win.
If that doesn't win, there are some serious issues.
We're going to riot.
Right. Distantly.
Yeah.
With Max.
I'm going to write a strongly worded letter to their board of tourism.
And not even apologize like true Canadian. Okay. Congrats to Soul, because I'm sure you won animated feature.
Yeah.
Good job.
Definitely. And probably score as well.
Well, I hope so. Okay.
And check out our Instagram, because we're going to post our picks for the
Oscars
as well.
We are. We're making those tomorrow morning, so you can go back, because you'll be listening to this
yes.
Monday.
Look at it and laugh at Krista's terrible picks and
you know what?
Applaud me for winning.
I have won more times than you. You just win by more when you win.
Yeah.
Okay, so I asked you some questions about Disney at the Oscars.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
So the first question I asked you was, other than animated short and animated feature, what are some other awards that Disney won?
I tried.
Yeah, so this is what you said.
Adapted screenplay.
So clearly they've won the most animated shorts and animated features.
Not as many as you'd expect,
no,
though.
No, that's true. No, because we're talking Disney himself, like Walt.
Well, yes, Walt. But even Disney as a company hasn't won as many as you. Pixar has probably won more.
That's true. Okay, so you weren't right
no.
on this one. No.
Hi, kitty.
Yeah, our cat just meowed a few. Okay, so other options you could have said. There were quite a few. There was the short documentary. The documentary feature.
Yeah, so Disney's done a lot of documentary nature stuff.
Yeah.
I should have picked up on that.
I know. There was a whole lot of those. And there's one that doesn't exist anymore, which is the short subject Too Real. They were nominated and won a lot of those.
They don't have reels anymore, so that wouldn't even make sense.
That doesn't make sense, yeah.
They also pushed Lemmings off a cliff.
We've talked about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can never talk about that enough. Disney pushed Lemmings off a cliff, and that's why everybody thinks Lemmings killed themselves. They don't.
So that's
Disney.
Yeah, but that's interesting for a few different reasons. But anyway.
Anyway.
You know what we should do? We should do an episode on, like, controversial Disney stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's actually fun.
I got into a discussion once online, which is, you know, the stupidest thing to do, but I did it anyway, about, like, how you can love something and still be critical of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, or still, like, think critically about it.
I think critically about everything.
Yes, you're cynical, though.
Especially your cooking. I like your cooking. But I think critically about it.
Anyway, the next question back to trivia that I asked you was, Walt Disney was nominated during his life once for Best Feature Film, like Best Picture. What was the film for? This is what you said.
Mary Poppins.
Okay. You got it right.
Nailed it.
Good job, Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's well deserved.
100%.
It was a well put together film.
Yeah, definitely. And a good nomination.
Technical achievement. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that was good.
Good nomination. Yeah, good choice.
It's just an honor to be nominated.
It's true. And then we had an issue because the third question I asked you was like worded kind of weirdly. so I just told you the answers. And so I asked you a bonus question. And the bonus question I asked you was for Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Walt got, you know, some honorary Oscars. He got a very specific, he got the figure, but then he also got seven little mini ones, which was really cool, by the way. I asked you who famously presented him with these. This is what you said.
Yeah, I don't know.
The answer is Shirley Temple.
Yeah, that's a good drink, too.
It's quite sweet.
It is quite sweet. Yeah, Shirley Temple was quite a fixture in Hollywood back then.
Totally makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Now, it is actually your turn to ask me trivia.
But you shanghaied it and...
Okay, so I was listening to a whack of podcasts. We run an Airbnb and my whole routine is while I'm doing the changeover for the Airbnb, I listen to Disney podcasts because it makes me happy. It was a Disneyland Today podcast. They were talking to someone who was on the opening cast of Fantasmic when it opened. And they kept phrasing something, and it made me, like, wonder if you knew what that phrase was.
What?
So, I'm getting there. So, I was like, oh my goodness, I need to ask trivia this week.
Okay.
Because it's about the Disneyland parks.
I'm leery.
That's fair. I would be, too.
That was quite the intro.
I'm gonna actually ask you. But I'm just saying, like, that's what made me think.
Okay.
I really want to ask you this trivia.
Okay. So you're stealing my trivia.
I'm stealing your trivia.
I'm not too upset about that.
That's okay. You'll ask me
Until week. The questions come, then I might be a little
upset. Well,
that's
upset. Fair. But it actually makes sense, because next week we're talking Falcon and Winter Soldier, so it makes more sense for you to ask me Marvel stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ready?
No.
This is the one that's based... I'm asking you anyway.
Yeah.
This is the one that's based on the question that I was thinking of when I was cleaning.
Okay.
Okay. You know how cast members who are characters, do you know when they speak about their role, they don't say, I am, you know, Donald Duck, or I am Snow White. They use a different phrasing. Do you know what the phrasing is? Brian is making a face right now.
Well... First of all, they're not actually allowed to say who they play outside of the park.
You can after you leave.
But they say something like, I'm friends with them or something like that. It's phrased something like that. I don't know. That's close enough. They're friends with them.
Good answer?
You
think so? You feel feeling confident?
It's something like that.
Because you can't say, I am Snow White.
No.
You have to say something else. So you're saying, I am friends. In this case, I am friends with Snow White.
Yeah.
Okay. Question number two. Which ride is at every single Disney park in the world?
Oh, that's an interesting question. There's a lot of overlap.
I should say that.
But there's a lot of Disney parks. I know the most interesting one is Haunted Mansion.
I agree.
They have very different versions of it depending on where you are in Disney.
Right,
parks.
Because different cultures have different relationships with, like, the afterlife.
Yeah. Like, the Asian cultures, some of them don't do well with that, so they kind of went a different way.
Yeah.
So that's very interesting. Peter Pan.
Okay.
Let's say Peter Pan. I don't think that's right, but whatever.
That's a good guess,
though. Something with
classic. You're going classic.
Classic.
You know what? That makes sense to go classic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then question number three. So Walt famously came up with the idea of Disneyland. He said he wanted a place for families to be together, you know, parents and children, everyone to enjoy things. And he thought about this, apparently, famously, while he was watching his children do something in L.A. What was that something?
I don't know, like a carousel or something? I don't know. That's weird.
That's super famous.
Yeah, I don't know. Not something I know.
Oh, okay. You're not a massive Disneyland history fan? You like the thrill rides.
I like the thrill rides. Walt liked trains.
That's true.
He had trains in his backyard.
Actually, a big part of it is there was this story.
He really just wanted to have a big train.
And then that. He really wanted a big train.
He really wanted to have a big train.
So it was like, how can I is this combination of like big trains and then this story is basically what gave rise to the Disneyland.
He also wanted it, like, right beside the studio. So, yeah. like he wanted Universal Studios style near his Buena Vista studio, but there wasn't room.
I have a book called Disney's Land, which is all about, like, the history of Disneyland. And
it's interesting.
Yeah, it is really interesting. And also, check out the Imagineering story. We've talked about this before. Yeah.
That wasn't on the Imagineering story.
No, not that part, but just, like, the history of Disneyland and stuff like that. Yeah.
No, I mean, the question you asked.
All right. Good. You're feeling confident final answers across the board?
No.
But still final answers across the board,
well,
though?
I don't have a choice.
Lindsay said when you didn't know an answer, she gave you a suggestion for what to say.
Oh, Dick Van Dyke.
There you go.
Well, I don't want his children to be riding Dick Van Dyke. I mean, piggyback. But,
yeah, it's fine.
They might have. They might have been. Yeah, that's good.
All right.
Good for them.
Okay.
Okay, thanks, Dick Van Dyke, for Disneyland.
And thank you, Lindsay, for listening and for giving us that suggestion, which if you listen to a previous episode, you will understand. Disney Trivial Pursuit, all the answers.
Yeah, I mean.
Dick Van Dyke.
Inside stories. It's
okay. All right. Go ahead.
So you can contact us on our social media about Dick Van Dyke or anything. Other topic. Yeah. Through our website to say hi, chat, anything like that.
Yeah.
Or our email.
Or guess your answers to our trivia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So that's our show for today. Thanks to Al Mule, who's responsible for our awesome custom theme song that you heard at the top of the show. You can find a link to his work at our website, disneya.wixsite.com/podcast. And you can also find us on social media, Instagram at Disney A Podcast, Facebook at Disney A, and Twitter at Disney A Podcast. You can find Disney A episodes on your favorite streaming platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and many more. Please review our podcast and subscribe. And if you know someone else who might like this podcast, be sure to recommend Disney A to them.
If you leave a review, we read it and during an episode.
Yeah, I mean, reviews are awesome, so...
Yay.
Unless they're bad, then they're not awesome.
No. Good reviews are awesome. Yay!
And you can also listen to Disney A episodes on Magic of the Mouse Radio on Mondays at 4 p.m. Eastern, with replays on Wednesday and Friday, also at 4. You can listen to Magic the Mouse Radio on Live 365, MyTuner Radio, and Radio Garden, and other radio station apps.
Mm-hmm. Basically all the apps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Radio. It's a cool radio station.
Super.
For Disney fans.
Mm-hmm.
Also,
mm-hmm.
since we're now excited to get to see the parks reopen,
woo-hoo.
You can listen to sounds and music of Disneyland on Magic of the Mouse Radio.
Because we're living vicariously through everyone who gets to go.
Yeah. But, I mean, the sounds are pretty good, too.
They are. Actually, I like listening to them while I work.
Yeah, it's exciting. And you can join us next week for our full look at Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Mm-hmm. You have a week to finish all the episodes.
Yeah, watch them. I mean, it's only 6 hours.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a making of assembled episode
that
comes
watch.
Out next Friday.
We'll talk about that.
We'll talk
bit.
About that yeah. as well. Yeah, just watch it.
Watch it.
It's good.
There will be many, many spoilers next week. We're going to assume you've seen it. So you have a week to watch it.
Yeah.
And until then, I'm Krista.
And I'm Brandon.
Until that next adventure, TTFN, ta-ta for now. Thanks for listening to Disney A. Stop sighing like that. It was fun.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah, it was good.